We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, Bruce Gradkowski, former Steelers quarterback, Pro Football Focus, SiriusXM NFL Radio, and here on 93.7 The Fan every Thursday at 3 o'clock. Look into your bald Bruce Gradkowski crystal ball. Who starts at quarterback on Sunday, Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph?
I think Hodges. I think that hit Mason Rudolph's throat, man. That was vicious. And I think when you're knocked out that long, you definitely have to take all the precautions necessary, which I know the Steelers aren't, especially the NFL is now with all the concussion stuff. I just can't see him being right for Sunday. I mean, I went through it, you know, a time or two in my career, and I remember it took me 2 weeks till I was right. I mean, because you come back out to practice, and what they want to see is if you're getting some symptoms, if you're getting headaches, dizziness, nauseous, and you know that would happen to me the first week. I try to come back to practice a few days later, I would get nauseous.
All right, give us the story. Who hit you? What happened? Did you know where you were?
It was a Toledo game. We were playing Temple in the Eagles Stadium, and it was right before halftime. And I scrambled up the middle. And I got slammed face first right into the ground and went into the locker room at halftime, dizzy and bell rung. But we're winning pretty good. We're up, I don't know, probably by like 20 or 25. And to start the second half, they don't put me in. All of a sudden, Temple starts scoring. So then they put me back in the game. And we drive down, we score. And I actually score. I like jump over for a touchdown. And I start, like, screaming. I'm talking some crap to the defense. And I remember my head just throbbing at that point. And they took me back out of the game at that point. And, yeah, and then I felt like I was okay the next day. And it was till, like, later on. You know, you're in college. I'm with my buddies. It was, you know, a good win. It was after a practice the following day where we have the next day off. And I'm singing some music, and my head is just throbbing. And I just knew I wasn't right. So it took me 2 weeks, though, from that hit to get back to normal. So, yeah, I don't think Rudolph will be ready this week.
What did the film reveal? I was even in there on the coach's film yesterday, Bruce, going over Duck Hodges' throws to see if my eyes deceived me in real time in that game and if I was giving him too much credit. What did the film show on Hodges and on Rudolph, really, in that game against Baltimore?
Well, I'll tell you what, Hodges is a guy that's just, he's naturally accurate. You don't have many guys that just can throw to anyone and just hit the target. You know, you could line up at a camp and have all kinds of receivers, like the combine, right? That's why quarterbacks don't throw at the combine, because they don't know the receivers, they haven't worked with them. Hodges is the type of guy, from what I can tell or see, that he's just going to be naturally accurate. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. And I like that about him. I mean, honestly, I think he's a poor man's Baker Mayfield. I mean, and at this point, you know, the way Baker Mayfield's
Bruce,
playing,
I said Chris, that. I can't believe great minds think alike.
Oh, no, hold
I said,
on. You cut Bruce off in the middle of him just absolutely trying to twist the knife about the Browns in general.
I know. I wanted to protect you and put you on a pedestal. But I've said that Devlin Hodges reminds me of Baker Mayfield without the baggage, Bruce, and the pedigree.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hodges isn't as athletic as Mayfield, but he has that knack of, like, just being a football player. I mean, as you saw in a short time in the game, I mean, he's making key throws downfield. And even the one that Juju fumbled, like, it's not an easy throw. I mean, Juju was open, yes. But there was some, like, you know, some traffic around Hodges in the pocket. They were blitzing him. It, you know, wasn't a comfortable throw. And he made it. Like, I think the guy, he can execute your offense. And he's going to stand in there and try to make the necessary plays. I honestly don't think you're in a worse position going into the game with Hodges at quarterback.
What was Rudolph? Because I saw the Pro Football Focus grades, and you're the czar of quarterback grading there, Bruce. So Hodges, I want to say, was in the mid-60s, and Rudolph was down around a 49. So what contributed, in Rudolph's case, to a negative grade with you guys, or a worse grade, obviously?
Well, you know, when you're not hitting the throws downfield, or, you know, there's nothing there. I remember just thinking, like, man, there's just, you know, just not doing anything. The biggest play of the game was, unfortunately, the one he got knocked down on.
Right.
I mean, that was the play that...
That was an improv play. That was a Ben special.
Yeah, he looked like Ben on that play.
Yeah. And you guys, look, you guys watch all the games. You see how it is, man. It's not always X's and O's just throwing it up and just, like, whooping people, except what the Niners did to the Browns. But, you know, it's honestly, it's quarterbacks making plays and guys making plays when necessary. And that's what you have to do. So, but Chris, you have to check out Twitter. I posted a video of the Browns, a few plays that I think just sum up their offense and why their struggles. So you have to give me some feedback.
I will. I have a serious question. You can bust my balls about the Browns all you want because they suck right now. Okay, that's fine. But one of the things we talked about with Rudolph was how his passer rating, like the traditional numbers, Bruce, don't really match up with the advanced stats read on him because the Steelers have been so conservative about what they've let him do. Very few long passes for Rudolph. The few that he's completed have gone for touchdowns, and they've been wide open receivers normally. If you're picking those three levels that quarterbacks throw to, 0 to 9 yards, 10 to 19, and then 20 and above, is it true that in the NFL, the best one of those to be really good at is that 10 to 19, that intermediate window that Hodges was doing pretty well throwing into?
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, I think those are the ones you want to hit. You know, you want to get some big-time throws like 20-plus yards. I mean, that's why Russell Wilson last week graded outstanding for us. Deshaun Watson, Teddy Bridgewater, those guys are nailing the throws 20-plus yards downfield. Russell Wilson, 99.9 grade on 20-plus yards downfield, was just crushing it. And when you're accurate that way, you're getting those big-time throws. And I think you see a common denominator, too. The best quarterbacks last week that I personally thought was Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Teddy Bridgewater. All of them big-time throws, 20-plus yards downfield. All of them played really well with the play-action game. And I just think that's saying something. I mean, guys are doing well. You don't have to always necessarily run the football to have a good play-action pass game. Look, defensive guys aren't always the smartest guys. They're going to bite up on the run whether you have negative yards in the game. They're still going to read their keys. So I think there's something to be said with the play-action pass.
Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus, our quarterback guru here on 93.7 The Fan. So just to make it clear, Bruce, you don't think there's a drop-off from Mason Rudolph to Devlin Hodges?
Not right now.
I don't think so either.
You know, you're not winning, right? So you need something, you need something more out there. And, I just feel like Hodges isn't someone that's going to be conservative and just hold back. And he's just going to let it rip. I mean, honestly, the dude has nothing to lose, right? I mean, undrafted free agent, he's getting an opportunity. I would love to see him kill it. I think Rudolph, too, continues to get comfortable. I mean, he does have it in him to make those plays where he can extend the plays like he did the other day. He'll make a few of those. And that's the name of the game. You have to make plays. And, just in that short time, we saw Hodges do it. And I'd like to see him in a full game and see what he could do. Look, they're playing a tough opponent in the Chargers. Chargers are dying for a win as well. It's out in L.A., so it's going to be a tough place. It's not going to be super loud. I don't think the Chargers.
It's a soccer. It's a soccer stadium. There'll be more Steelers fans there.
100%.
Right. So it's not like you have to worry about too much of the noise. So it could be a nice little situation for Hodges to get his first start.
Bruce, if you were game planning against Devlin Hodges, so you're the Chargers defensive coordinator now, so congratulations. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are on your team, but you don't have Derwin James for this game. What would you be trying to force him to do that you saw in film that you thought was weak, maybe, from Devlin Hodges?
Well, I think a lot of young quarterbacks, you know, defense coordinators want to play man-to-man, right? You know, force young guys to make tight window throws. But for me, you know, because, you know, playing the position, the thing as a quarterback you hate, I mean, you like playing against man-to-man, right? Because you don't have to read anything. You know, everyone's man-to-man. You don't have to worry about zone droppers, zone defenders. You know you have one-on-one, so you're going to throw your one-on-one throw. Why not mix up zone coverages? Make the quarterback think. I wouldn't necessarily, like, blitz him a ton. You've got to have some, you know, blitzes in the game plan and whatnot. But just mix up zones. Make him think. Make, you know, just disguise things. You know, roll coverages and all that stuff. So I could see that happening. Gus Bradley's a great defense coordinator for the Chargers. And he's the type of guy, too, that believes in his scheme. And I don't think they're very, you know, they're not very difficult to see what they're doing. They're pretty solid in what they do. But it's that kind of zone defense. And, you know, sometimes as a quarterback, you'd rather play versus man-to-man.
All right, Bruce. Good stuff, man. I got some new information on the Redskins plane that I'm going to share with people this hour, so you might want to stream us.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to tune in. You know, Chris, honestly, though, I did post a video because I was watching the Browns, and just real quick, I mean, I think you can't blame it on one player or person. I mean, it's just a mix of everything, and there's one play specifically in the game that sums up all the Browns' problems, and it was the one they motioned. It was the first play on the clip I posted on Twitter and Instagram. They motioned Demetrius Harrison, the tight end, to block Bosa. So, number one, that's your first mistake. You have a tight end trying to block Bosa. You have no chance. And then you have a double post play, and Antonio Callaway on the outside is supposed to cross Richard Sherman's face. You're always supposed to protect the throw if you're the wide receiver, and he didn't do that. And then next, Baker Mayfield had to move in the pocket because he was moving away from the pressure of Bosa, which was getting, you know, blocked by a tight end, and he was a tad late.
Is this meant to make Chris feel better or worse? Where are we going with this, Bruce? Is this supposed to cheer him up?
No, yeah, I'm just telling him that it's not just on Mayfield. You know, and you got to look at, guys, the North is wide open, so there's no room to panic.
Bruce, what I read you really saying here is, Chris, it's not just Mayfield who sucks. Everybody on the Browns sucks. So thank you for pointing that out. Very generous of you.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to add some positivity to your life, Chris.
And he needs it.
One.
See you, Bruce. There you go.
Unbelievable.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Chris, Benny Snell talking in the first person today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, this is newsworthy.
And a new Redskins plane theory. I wasn't kidding. That Redskins plane that was in Pittsburgh. A new theory on why it was here next is the PM team.
He's really taught me that, you know, it's always about the details and the little things that you do that matter the most, you know, that make the biggest impact. That's really been the biggest point.
Lessons James Conner has reinforced and taught him.
If Benny Snell gets a lot of carries this weekend, and he does something with those carries, let's say 15 carries, and Benny Snell rips off, I don't know, how's 90 yards sound to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a touchdown thrown in there. Steelers pull a big upset in primetime. God, do I hope he leans right back into third person talking. Well, Benny Snell football felt good out there today, and Benny Snell football expected to do this. He didn't hope to do this. Benny Snell football expected to take it to the Chargers.
No Jalen Samuels, so we could see more Benny Snell.
Frankly, I'd like to. I know we and everybody else has busted his chops for this third person thing, which clearly seems to have gotten back to him because he stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But James Conner has not shown anywhere near enough to make me say run him till the wheels fall off like Tomlin famously does. You know why? The wheels don't appear to have been on with Conner.
Okay, so give me the Mulsey ratio. What is the percentage?
60-40. I'd almost go 50-50, man. Let Benny see what he can do. You're 1-4. You've got to pull out. We think that possibly the coach ordered like the code red from a few good men at practice to try to fire guys up or told the defense condone them going after the offense. You have to start taking chances like that. And you know what? Giving a guy more carries when the person he backs up, when he and that person are the only two really left, and he and that person's averaging 3.3 a carry like Connor is, that's not some dramatic thing, is it? James Connor's not averaging 6 yards a carry here, and I'm advocating slicing his carries in half.
I totally disagree with you. Because
on what grounds?
If the Steelers' run game is a pizza.
Oh God, here we go.
Right?
I'm turning my brain right off.
If the Steelers' run game is a pizza, okay?
Yes.
They do not have like a large sheet pizza that's designed for like a fantasy football draft or a birthday party.
It is not a community pizza.
The Steelers run game.
It's a personal pizza.
Yes, it's the pizza that you used to get for like reading books in school.
A personal pan pizza.
Yes.
It's a four cut.
That's all it is. There aren't enough carries to be divided and divvied up between two guys. The way to beat, first of all, I think Connor is a running back that gets better with more carries, like Jerome Bettis. And he has not had an opportunity, and part of it is his own doing. I will say that. I'll also say we do with the James Connor show, full disclosure. So I think that Connor is a running back that gets better with more. If someone else takes some of those carries, I think it makes him less effective. There aren't a lot to go around. And I also don't think the way to beat the Chargers with Duck Hodges, if he starts, is to shuffle running backs in and out. I want them in this game. My dream for the Steelers is that they push the ball downfield because that's what the Chargers aren't good at. Even though you go game by game with them, you might find that they have not given up a lot of total passing yards, like Joe Flacco last week, for example.
Yeah.
But it's the yards per attempt. They give up long passing plays. They are an inefficient pass defense.
Well, they don't have the guy that you fear there, which is Derwin James in the middle of that defense.
So that's why their offense need. They don't have now for this game. If I didn't think that my fear with Jalen Samuels is that whenever he's in now available, they're going to try to do some funky wildcat crap.
Mm-hmm.
If Samuels were healthy, I would say based on what the Chargers are good at and not good at, I would want him as my running back.
Because he can go down the field and he's your most natural pass catcher.
But Connor's actually done a pretty good job with that. So I think if Connor's gonna have an effect on this game, I think it will be as a pass catcher and less as a runner. And I've seen nothing in his limited professional resume, preseason, and the very teeny weeny bit he's played in regular season games. Nothing tells me that Benny Snell is going to provide any help in the pass game. The other thing Connor, I know, does better than Snell in the pass game is if I'm trying to take shots downfield, I might ask my running back exactly to protect. And I know that Connor this year is still good at that.
All right, well, I answered the question. I mean, you move the goalposts slightly. You start talking pizzas and passing game. I guess my statement about Connor is a referendum on I haven't seen a whole lot out of him. He had a couple good runs later in that Baltimore game where there was one on first.
With Duck?
There was one on first and 20 where he actually, I should take back what I said yesterday. I thought he made about 5 or 6 extra yards with a nice cut and reading a block well that got them into a 2nd and 8 when they were 1st and 20. So he made a couple good plays. But if he puts the ball on the ground again early in this game, or he looks really just not himself, which he's looked all year basically, I'm not hesitating. I'm going and giving Snell some carries. I've got to see. I can't, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I don't have the luxury of waiting around for Connor to get going in this game.
We're the PM team. We're presented by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. In a couple of minutes, Chris is going to give you an opportunity to do something that you've only dreamed about, and that's play golf with him.
Whoa. You play golf with me, that's tomorrow's, to actually play in my group. Today is to be in my orbit while we all play
golf.
Okay,
it's your tournament.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
All right, I just didn't, very
specific.
You
thought I was making
here.
A false promise there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be there. You'll see
me. I had a Filippone lightning, light bulb moment.
Okay.
While we were having this conversation about the Steelers offense. Dante Moncrief.
Uh-oh.
Is it possible one of the reasons why they've benched him has less to do with his drops and more to do with healing his broken finger. Tomlin doesn't want to use the injury excuse because he wants to make it look like he's disciplining or he's holding a player accountable because fans want that because that looks better.
Mm-hmm.
Moncrief throws a bomb touchdown or catches a bomb touchdown pass from Hodges at the end of practice. He's out there with the first team offense. Could it be that Moncrief is healthy now and just needs an opportunity? What do you think? Do you think Dante Moncrief factors into Sunday's game at all? Because I think he does. My first prediction for this game is that Dante Moncrief will catch one pass for more than 20 yards. Chris, the floor is yours.
What do you want me to do, respond to the Moncrief take here?
Yes.
I have a weird feeling you're right. Maybe not to the level of depth you went, but they're in such desperate straits.
And the finger healed is the key. The healing of the finger.
He has the most actual NFL pedigree outside of Smith-Schuster of their remaining healthy wide receivers.
Yep.
He's actually caught touchdowns, lots of them.
There you go.
Relatively
Imagine
speaking.
Boswell trying to kick field goals with a broken toe on his kicking foot. Probably not easy.
Take this broken thumb and drop a pass again.
By the way, Devlin Hodges on the air tonight at 6. I'm looking forward to that. I might try to get down there.
Yeah?
Why not?
You see Banner, you see Devlin Hodges, or maybe he calls in, I don't know.
Zeiss.
You see Zeiss. So, obviously.
Is that not just, that's a group I'd like to go out and get beers with. Banner, Zeiss, Hodges.
It'd be a Banner evening. Thank you, Milesy.
Coming up at 4, Dave Richard helps you set your fantasy lineups. Coming up next, there's a new Redskins plane theory. Ugh. Why was Dan Snyder's private jet, his personal jet, in Pittsburgh on Tuesday? A new theory on that next. It's the PM team. All over the last couple of days, you know that there was a Redskins team plane at Pittsburgh International Airport on Tuesday.
Happiest I've ever seen you coming in to talk about that the next day. I've never seen you so fired up at the thought that Mike Tomlin would be getting plucked from the Steelers to go coach Washington. You just looked. You're a kid in a candy store, kid on Christmas
Dan
morning.
Dan Snyder.
Super Nintendo's under the tree.
Limousine, taking him to Steelers headquarters. Goes up to Mr. Rooney's office. I'll give you 3 first-round picks for him. Rooney makes the deal right then and there. Tomlin
is
flies
literally
taken.
Yeah, he's given a Redskins polo and flies back to
Bill
take over.
Cower comes out of the TV. Okay, that part was an exaggeration.
Oh, but for most
Everything
people,
else,
for
was,
most people here, they would be like, Cower's back?
I was rooting for all the other parts
Finally,
of that story
Cower gets a chance to win with Tomlin's players.
I heard a new Redskins plane theory today. Just today.
Who are you getting these from?
Hold on. From somebody who, I'm not saying, they're not a Steelers source. This is just somebody whose opinion I really respect. And also is very familiar with the way the Redskins work.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Made a very, I thought, smart observation on that whole story. And we talked about it. Why is that plane here? One person on
An
Twitter,
injured player.
You know, take it for what it's worth, it's Twitter said, I work at the airport. There was an injured player that needed to go to UPMC. You know? We heard that idea bandied about. This new theory I got today I love because I think it's right in line with Dan Snyder. This is what somebody who knows that organization said to me. How about this? Dan Snyder has told everybody close to him he wants Mike Tomlin. Everybody close to him, Mike Tomlin's on his list of coaching candidates right now. Somebody he wants to hire next year. He can't hire him yet. The season's still going on. You know what he can do? He can send a plane up to Pittsburgh. He doesn't have to be inside of it. There's a pilot, obviously, operating the plane. And there's maybe like a silly Redskins employee who's reading
Great Gatsby,
Mad Magazine, and
cracked, eating roasted peanuts.
Eating, yeah, cheese puffs.
Okay.
He spends the money, wastes the gasoline that's destroying the ozone layer.
No, it's like warming the planet. We fixed the ozone layer.
Thank you, Chris.
I didn't want Craig to get mad at you for factual inaccuracy.
From D.C. or wherever in Maryland to Pittsburgh. Says, park that baby there.
Just park it there.
For a few hours.
Just get that, just sniff that out. You know, send that out there.
There are rabid Steelers fans. They're familiar with the story. They take a picture of it. That picture makes its way back down to Washington. Redskins fans, oh my God.
Dan's really doing it.
Dan Snyder. There's smoke where there's fire. He wants Mike Tomlin. That act of merely putting a plane with no intent to do anything, he's not going to interview Mike Tomlin. He knows that it's against the rules. He's not stupid enough, hard to believe.
You said yesterday he was stupid enough to not know the rules.
This is a new theory. Dan Snyder's not stupid enough to go kick down Art Rooney's door and try to make a trade now or talk to Kevin Colbert about it. That's not happening. But he can do what every Redskins insider has told us. He can do something that makes the fans who are naive enough to think that merely sending a plane up here makes it look like Dan Snyder is serious about Mike Tomlin. Because the only thing that matters to him right now is scoring points with his fans. Because they pay his bills. He needs to fill that stadium. He wants a new stadium. The empty plane theory. Thoughts?
Be a pretty plum job to be the Redskins employee who gets to sit on that plane and just take a 1 hour flight.
Seriously, would you put that past Dan Snyder?
No. I still think the shortest distance between two points is a straight line and that it's an injured Washington player getting seen at
UPMC. Who is the injured Redskins player? I know there are HIPAA laws out there, but let's have that Redskins player come forward on Twitter and say, thank you so much, UPMC. Have them film a commercial. Like
Greg,
Zlatan,
have you ever seen this man
Dale
pursue
Earnhardt Jr.
a story with this sort of vim and vigor?
We had to ask him to take off the tinfoil cap before the
show. Pony is the hardest working guy in this business that I've ever met, and yet he has pursued this with the rabid enthusiasm of, like, you get one of my dogs with one of their tug-of-war toys, like Lance, and he doesn't want to give that thing up, and he'll growl at you.
I need a Tomlin Redskins deep throw. I need somebody behind the scenes who's going to give me...
You need your Mark Felt.
Yes.
Now, don't you think Snyder, though, maybe released, like, put out this list of people he wanted to get Tomlin's reaction publicly in the press conference to see, you know what, see
his
interest.
He's not playing chess like
that. So if he could do that to gauge his interest, why not send the plane to gauge his fans' level of interest?
What's the percentage chance that the team employee or the person affiliated with the club on the plane is Chris Cooley, and he just tells him to get hammered?
The old tight end, why does he like to drink?
I don't know. Seems like it.
I thought he was a Dan Snyder buddy, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
one of your buddies on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fallen in, and then...
Just park it there.
So it's all optics, and it's all
smokescreen. Some Steelers fan who works over at the airport is going to be like, oh, my God.
I heard Pony and Mueller talking about this.
It gets to the media. It gets out. He sees what his fans think.
Bingo.
You know what didn't happen? We did not get anybody calling in to Cook and Joe. Cookie, Joe, Lovians. I saw that it's Dan Snyder's plane. Who else has that logo?
They're not on that beat right now, those two. They're not litigating that right now. We are. Okay?
Conspiracy theory with Andrew
here.
Filippone, yes.
Our lane right now, we do three things well. Redskins plane. Okay?
Duck Hodges.
Duck
propaganda.
Hodges and obscure sports bets.
And that's all we got.
If we can just call those three plays, we don't need to get exotic here. There's no Wildcat on this show.
We're running our stuff, and we're confident that the defense can't stop it.
We got three plays. Tomlin to the Redskins.
Duck
Hodges,
start.
I believe in him. And Craig is fueling us with obscure sports bets.
And fade Craig Riley.
Yeah.
Right. Craig's got the Guangzhou Lions over whatever NBA team they're playing out of a fear factor for what's going on over
that
there.
That arena looked pretty full in China, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think like Chinese citizens are like all on board with the idea of screw
But I'm
the
afraid
NBA.
To even say anything more than what I just said about it because I don't want to be reprimanded. Because everyone seems to be getting like thrown out of arenas and stuff for it.
Well, you don't
amazing.
Have a sign with you. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, you
Tom, Redskins plane. Duck should start. Obscure bets.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on October 15th and help them support the fight against breast cancer. 74 degrees right now, 49 as a low. Sunny skies is the PM team on the fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.